Dear Lord, please forgive me for the horrors I'm about to subject this audience to.
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccines. Help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant. Fauci, yes? Promise us, please. We'll have a cure that can fight off this disease. Restrictions will lift with some ease. Dr. Fauci, don't forget me.
Hey everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, my first instinct upon seeing this video was that I had to make the entire world watch it so they would suffer the way I have suffered, and to be all snarky about it, which is my way, as I know you know. But I started thinking about why. You got to get to these root causes. Why is there a young, well-dressed, apparently well-spoken, somewhat singing high school kid singing a parody song to Dr. Fauci, or as I like to call him, Anthony Dr. Fauci. And Bill, here's what I came up with. As we're being stripped of our heroes one by one, as the left and the woke outrage mob knocks down statue after statue, cancels bit of culture after bit of culture, and is basically trying to eliminate the Western canon and all heroes from Western life, we still need heroes, don't we? And in this storm, I guess Dr. Fauci has to do?
I'm still a little unclear because at the beginning of the video, when I realized that it was being sung to the tune of that racist, and not only racist, but really misogynist nightmare, Mr. Sadman, which is basically a song about begging for sexual assault. After that, I began to, you know, get a little triggered, and I wasn't really listening to all the lyrics. I do remember the guy saying in the song somewhere that we've got to maintain our social distancing, and something gives me the impression that this kid didn't have much problem with social distancing either before or after this video or after the epidemic is over either. You know, on one level, to be perfectly fair, it's a goof. I wrote a parody song like that was almost that bad, and it was just you're that age, you know. But your larger point is the one that matters. This idea that Dr. Fauci is going to save us or not save us or has saved us or will save us. Dr. Fauci, give us a vaccine. Somebody did give you a vaccine and it wasn't Dr. Fauci. So that's the part that I agree is really disturbing. You know, all I'll just say on this, Steve, is that so many of the people who say that they believe in science, what they really mean is they believe in scientists. They believe in people, and they believe in the idea of somebody with a white lab coat who is obviously much smarter than, well, not than they are, obviously, but because no one is ever smarter than they are, but smart enough to tell the rest of us what to do. And this belief, this appeal to authority, this belief not in science, but in scientists, doctors, experts, you know, is you're right. It's part of a symptom of a society that gets further and further away from reality, because if you're living door to door with reality, and somebody is as wrong about something as Dr. Fauci has been, you no longer have the luxury of maintaining that illusion. But in the society of ours, with his bodyguard of media, you know, experts and all the rest of it, I have to say, I really do think that was Donald Trump's single greatest mistake in his presidency. I really do. Once you found out the connections that this guy has and the background and stuff, I really think that putting him in charge of this was a big mistake. But history is history. And as soon as this episode is over, I'm going to call Washington and ask Dr. Fauci if I can get a hall pass so I can go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Do you have your papers? Is now what you need to just simply leave the house, and has been for quite a while. Unless you're in a great state like Florida or Texas, where Scott Ott is. Scott, you know, there's a really broader thing here. And I think this is just the most degenerate symptom of it, if that's the if that's not too strong a word to use. And that is, we've taken culturally, we've reached the point where we're no longer allowed or encouraged to read Shakespeare, but instead we're supposed to worship entertainers who are either thugs or strippers previous to becoming entertainers. And I'm guessing now that worshiping a bureaucrat of not great accomplishments who's been on literally both sides of every issue related to COVID-19 is just the latest downward step on that path. What do you say to that?
I think it was Monster.com or somebody like that who did an ad years ago where they had little children saying things like, "I dream of becoming a mid-level manager." And I think, you know, it's like we've set our sights a little lower than we used to. By the way, when I first saw that song and you kindly sent it over to us before the show.
Kindly.
And yeah, I think my phrase was, "Steve, you are the cruelest man on earth," or something like that.
It was.
But when I first saw it, I thought, oh, this is withering satire. Like, I just thought that this was just the sharpest satirical thing I'd ever seen, badly sung, badly written, and making fun of the cult of personality that's developed around a guy who is essentially, you know, has the characteristics of the hero of the Peter Principle. And so as it turns out, it's not like that. We have always needed to have people whose lives we could look up to and whose behavior would form an inspiration for us or to which we could aspire. And that's natural in the human condition. But I was just thinking, as Bill was talking, I'm trying to think back on when I have ever had that kind of thought about another person. Like, I had favorite bands, but I never thought, ooh, I really wish I could meet, you know, Ted Nugent or Robin Zander or whoever was the favorite when I was a teenager. I wish I could meet them and get their autograph and blah. I never really saw them as more than human beings. I never really had that sense of hero worship of a living individual. I have certainly admired, probably beyond their due, characters from the past and people whose biographies I have read. And that's the great thing about biography and about even fictitious stories is you can pick and choose the characteristics that you want to admire, and you don't have to live with that SOB Steve Jobs every day. You know, you could just say, "Well, I really like his knack for innovation and creativity and synthesis and all that kind of stuff." And so, I think we cheat our kids if we try to position living beings as heroic and with no flaws, whether it's Dr. Fauci or anybody else. But I think we do them a great service if we let them dip into the well of history and be able to find characters with which they can identify and who they would aspire to be. And so, you know, James Madison, he was probably a little jerk for all I know, but I loved his devotion to scholarship and his unbelievable commitment to the process of governance, that his understanding that it required a framework to create liberty, all of that kind of stuff. Fascinating for me. I can pick and choose that stuff. But if he walked in the room right now, you know, he'd probably say something stupid and I wouldn't like him and it would be all over between us.
Yeah. The Dr. Fauci action figures are not selling well at all.
Oh, Bill, you remind me of one of my favorite gags of all time. It was, did you ever see Waiting for Guffman? One of the...
One of my all-time favorite movies.
One of the funniest movies ever made.
Absolutely. I love it.
And at the end of the film, when we see the My Dinner with Andre action figure set, I about fell off the sofa. Just one of the cleverest sort of Hollywood insider gags of all time. And I love that.
I think the best thing about the Fauci action figure is how you can open that panel in his buttocks and then get new ears and eyes and stuff like that.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. Okay, Scott reminded me of a quote. I think it's Heinlein who said that all gods have feet of clay. And I don't think he was referring to actual gods when he wrote that. I can't improve on what Scott said, so I'll just add that. The other thing he said that triggered something in me in a good way was that line about a cult of personality. Usually when we think of a cult of personality, we think of someone like a Hitler or a Stalin or a Mao, somebody of great power and great evil who used the huge totalitarian apparatus of the state to promote that cult of personality, that the Führer, that the comrade Stalin, German Mao could do no wrong, and that all those corpses, well, those were for your own good. This idea, though, of forming a cult of personality around, as Scott described, a mid-level bureaucrat is beyond me, other than to say, I guess this shows that when you take away our real heroes, this is all we have left. It's a sad state to be in. I hope we get better. And that's your right angle on that, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.